Doing what I'm going to make like a mini series here out of what I began last week here about strengthening relationships. I really feel, again, this the month of October here is going to be a time for us to take and talk about strengthening our marriages, our walk with our own sons and daughters, our friends around us, because, again, God is a God of relationships. And one thing the Bible is very clear about is in the last days, it says many folks will be offended in the body of Christ. Many folks will betray each other, hate each other, actually turn against one another before Jesus Christ comes back. And so God wants us to see a holy net become stronger and stronger of relationships before Christ returns, not weaker and weaker, not more torn apart, not more fish going through the net, but more fish being gathered by the net for end time harvest. Amen? How many folks agree with that? That's what God desires and God wants in this season. Also, tomorrow is an interesting day. Tomorrow is Christopher Columbus Day. Most folks, or some folks, have Monday off that are government workers. And it's going to be a time for us to celebrate what Christopher Columbus did here over 500 years ago. I want you to understand here, historically, I kind of looked at some things about Christopher Columbus in history as far as spiritual matters are concerned, because I know that this nation of America was birthed because God had it on his heart to birth it the way that he did for spiritual freedom, to praise him, worship him in the way that God desired, not being bound by religious or by the bondages of a government, but only being under the control of God's government, the kingdom of God. Amen? So I found that Christopher Columbus was actually a strong Catholic-type person, but his main motivation, God, the Bible says, looks at motives about why folks do what they do. The primary motive for Christopher Columbus coming to America, he was trying to find a better passage to India. He was trying to find gold to actually finance the Crusades to keep Islam or kick Islam out of Jerusalem in Israel. His primary goal was getting gold, finding gold, that he might use that gold to fight the Muslims and kick them out of Jerusalem to bless Israel upon the face of the earth. You see there now spiritually why this nation has a strong, strong tie today with the nation of Israel. And the Bible says those who bless Jerusalem, those who pray for the peace of Jerusalem, those who bless Jerusalem are going to actually bless the apple of my eye is what God says. And I encourage you folks, be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Every day you think to do that because they will be the last harvest reaped before Jesus Christ comes back. How do I know that? Because the Bible says the first will be last, the last will be first. They were the first ones to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ over 2,000 years ago. They shall be the last harvest reaped upon the face of the earth. Right now, much is being done to reach the Israelis and reach Israel with the gospel of Jesus Christ. May that increase more and more and more. And the fact also is the Bible says when Jesus Christ returns, he puts his foot down upon the Mount of Olives and splits that mountain right in two. It's a place of covenant, the place of promise, the place of protection, and the place also even of blessing. And I pray the Tree of Life Church will be blessing Israel more and more and more, not less and less, as the year approaches when Jesus Christ comes back for his bride, for his people upon the earth. Amen? So Christopher Columbus has a rich tradition, rich history, and he's got a tie there with Jerusalem and Israel as well. May that be maintained for our country until Christ does return. I'm going to speak this morning here on becoming intentional in our relationships. You're going to find that relationships are actually the tracks in which love can travel on. The love of God is called, the best love of God is called the agape love of God, the unconditional love of God. That should be our goal towards our wife, towards our husband, towards our friends and loved ones in our own family, is to demonstrate and display the love of God, the agape love of God, in all that we say and do upon the earth. The average Bible that you're holding right now, perhaps in your hand, the average Bible has over 1,600 pages in it. You realize that? Old and New Testament. Go only about four pages into your 1,600-page Bible, and you find relationships of God birth get broken down by mankind. Only four pages into a 1,600-page book, chapter 3 of Genesis, it says that Adam sinned, Eve sinned, and they hid themselves from God's presence as God walked in the cool of the day to relate to them, talk to them, speak to them. They were found hiding with fig leaves on their bodies and find themselves breaking relationship with God in a very, very dramatic way. It was actually a grievous thing from that day to this day as well. Jesus Christ has come back. He's come upon the earth, not just to die for our sins, but to get us back into relationship with God the Father, who is called Abba, Daddy God, The God that speaks, the God that lives, the God of relationships wants it also with you and I, a divine relationship of agape love upon our lives and upon this earth. So last week was about, again, paying attention. How many folks can say this past seven days, you paid better attention to your spouse, your children, or folks around you? How many folks can say you did that? Five of you? Eight of you? Hopefully most of you guys are doing that. You must become intentional to pay attention. We're a very, very distracted society because, again, of iPhones and cell phones and 5,000 channels on television and busy, busy workplaces, overtime, and all the things around us in America that's so opulent and so rich. There's many, many distractions around us we can find ourselves buying into. We must become intentional with paying attention to folks around us that God puts in our path in relationship also in our lives. This is something you must practice and eventually become a habit in your life to actually start paying better attention to the folks that God puts around you to love in your life and relationships also. Out of our three children, we have two girls and one boy. I think that's right. We have one boy, the oldest, named Daniel. We have two girls named Kristen and Sarah. They are all over 21 years of age, considered now to be adults as far as our nation's government is concerned. How many folks realize some folks in their 20s don't act totally like adults all the time? Some folks in their 30s are the same way as well. But these folks are all over 21 years of age now. And I remember back in their teenage years, my kids very, very rarely would come to Cheryl or myself and say, Mother, Father, I want to just kind of pour out my heart to you and share all the things I'm going through at high school with my friendships, my crushes, those I'm actually liking around me on the earth, my future plans. We didn't find them doing things like that very much on a regular basis. We found ourselves having to take and sit our children down and find time to get with them one-on-one by ourselves and kind of start digging things out of them. What do you sense your plans are for the future? Who are your friends? Are they serving God? What's your plans for education? What do you see yourself being leaning towards as far as your work goes, your occupation goes, your ministry goes? These things you got to sometimes take and sit down intentionally and dig those things out of your teenagers' lives. You'll never know where their mind actually is even at. And I encourage all you grandparents and all you parents that are here, take time with your grandkids, take time for your children, and set them down sometimes on long drives, sometimes out there in the park somewhere in a place of amusement. Find out where they are in spirit and soul and body, because they are worth your time. Amen. God has made you stewards over your grandkids and your children as well. And God says, be wise stewards over those things I place under your care. We're seeing again in the American family such a breakdown and such an attack against the American family that it's not even funny. And God is saying, let's counterpunch that. Let's counterattack that by spending quality time with those that God places under our care. And find out where they are. Take inventory of their lives. Let them share their hearts with us. And then be a blessing to pour hopefully some wisdom back into them that God would give us by our own experiences, our own example in our lives also towards them. I also spoke last week about a thing called drifting. That drifting happens little by little. We don't find ourselves in the ocean on a little floating device. Suddenly a mile from the place we actually began at, we just find ourselves automatically drifting by the current. It will take us out to sea sometimes, or far to the east, or far to the west. But the truth is, there's many currents around us right now in our culture that will cause us to drift away from our walk with God, our walk with our spouse, our loved ones, our relationships there. If we don't become intentional, careful people, we're going to find ourselves drifting in the important things of life that God has placed also in our lives. These things that are currents of life can be your workplace. It can be the pressures of your own experience at your job. The place also at your house can be very, very busy. Relationships outside your home with in-laws and friends at work and so forth. Hobbies, things you actually find yourself enjoy doing with video games and TV and movies and so forth. These are all currents that can somehow, some way drag us away to be drifting away from what God's best is for divine relationships in our lives. Let's be intentional. Let's take and put our brakes on sometimes and say, I'm not too busy that I cannot spend time with my own children, my own wife, my own husband, my own friends that God has placed in my path, because they are worthy of my time, my attention, and also even God himself. I don't want to see myself drifting from him as well. I want to spend time in God's presence, getting myself strong with Him, with His help and His might, every day also of my life. Even in marriage or relationships with your children, you can find yourself again drifting from them. In Christianity, again, if we don't read our Bibles, we don't pray, we don't spend time in praise, we don't spend time feeding our spirit man, we're going to find ourselves getting more and more cold towards the things of God. Now, the way I find in my own heart, if I'm not close to God the way I should be, I'm not hearing God's voice the way I did in times past. Those who are near God, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, they know my voice, because sheep are always close to the shepherd. I want to stay as close to God as I can. I might be able to hear the still small voice that God had placed in my heart, in my mind, and my spirit. You know, Cheryl mentioned herself again, how part of our tree split off and fell down to the ground last night there and hit this driveway again. Sometimes God gives you impressions to do certain things to cause future dangers, even like that, to not cause a damage to a vehicle or to whatever else. I know that God began to orchestrate things even for that last night, that nothing was damaged on our property or in our cars, because God again speaks, or God does things, or God gives impressions that brings forth only blessings to our lives. We serve a good God. Amen. And God wants to bless you in so many ways that sometimes you don't even detect those things that God is doing. But God again sees the future, and being close to Him will cause His blessings to overtake us in every part of our lives. I appreciate what Jack Adams shared this morning here again. The Bible is also, it's very true there. You can take many scriptures and find the opposite of what the Bible scripture says. That also will apply to your life. So do that sometimes in reading the Bible. It'll be a rich thing for you to be doing there. And also some things of warning take place also from that. Also realize relationships never stand still. They're either growing or they are shrinking. If you neglect relationships towards your wife, towards your husband, towards your children, they will automatically go backwards just by osmosis. The fallen world we live in dictates things that deteriorate, not become better, but to become worse. You might have seen sometime a house neglected by the people moving out or going away for 5 or 6 months. The weeds grow up, the grass grows up, the things get dirty, the windows get dirty. All things begin deteriorating because of neglect on that house. And the same thing is also true of relationships. They will deteriorate, they'll become less than what God wants for them just by, again, living in a fallen world. It takes intentional actions on our part to maintain healthy, thriving, striving relationships that are a blessing both to us and those folks we relate to, and also for God's kingdom to advance upon the earth. One of our goals should be not to live by love at first sight, but to live by love at last sight. What do I mean by that? Many of us will find in our high school and college years, we'll find this sweet young thing who's so beautiful, so magnificent, and we say, I'd just love to take that person out on a date. It's like love at first sight. But we know it's really, as we're now older, mature folks, it's really infatuation at first sight, amen? Because folks can be real nice and real kind. Anybody can for one date or one night. Any man can be. Any girl can be. When you say, I do, and start living with somebody, the real person is going to come out, amen? And that's why I say it's more important to have love at last sight than love at first sight, because love at last sight says, when I leave the house to go to work in the mornings, I say, I'm sorry, honey, I'm going to miss your face. I'm going to work right now. I can't wait to get back home again, because I love to be around you. I love to be with you. I love to see your face. I love to be in your presence. I'm going to really miss you this day. Can't wait to get home. Honey, folks can say that's true, hopefully, in your lives as well. Otherwise, you have marriage counselors here lined up in the sanctuary to help you folks out. We need to strive towards truly having love at last sight, not saying, hey, buddy, when you go, don't let the door hit you on whatever as you're going out. Amen? Go ahead and go. Goodbye. I'm free now. Praise God. Have a good day. Stay late. Go out with the boys. What do you want there? Come back in 2 days, whatever. That's not the goal for a happy marriage. Amen? It's love at last sight, not just love at first sight. Amen? One place in the Bible, though, we can see the benefit of intentional relationships is found back in the book of Luke chapter 15, the very, very familiar scriptures and also story and parable that Jesus Christ himself gave, the parable of the prodigal son. It also could be called the parable of the loving father. The parable of a loving father. I heard that this morning in my own ears prophetically. What God is saying this morning at Tree of Life Church, I believe very strongly, is not just his powers here among us, but also the father heart of God is here among us today. There's somebody in this room today that needs to hear God is a father who loves you unconditionally. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You might be questioning that God's love is real, that God's love is for you, that God cares about you. And the answer to all those things is yes, God is here. Yes, God does love you. And yes, God cares about every detail of your life. We serve a good God, a good father, an Abba, Daddy God, who will ever be our father forever and evermore in the heavens and in his kingdom as it advances throughout the eons of time. Luke chapter 15 now, verse 11 on the screen here, I believe as well. The New King James Version here. And it says, then he, Jesus, he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of the two said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Notice this, give me. So he divided to them his livelihood, and not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together. He journeyed to a far country, and there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods the swine and pigs ate. No one gave him anything even to eat. The younger son acted intentional in that he thought that what he would get is what he would want as time went by. But he began to realize it did not produce the dreams he had placed inside of his own mind. He thought by getting an inheritance, by having a whole lot of money, by leaving into a distant land, all the dreams he had, all of his fantasies would all come true. But he realized as time was actually going by in real life, sin only has pleasure for a season. There's always a payday for sin. In fact, the Bible says the wages, the payday for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. The Bible says he ended up being stripped of everything and doing for a stranger what he would not do for his own father, and that is to work and to serve. If you don't do things willfully for God, your good father, you'll find yourself doing things for strangers by force that you would not do for your own father upon the earth. Amen. Better to willfully serve a good God, a blessed God, than serve some evil taskmaster upon the earth. Amen. So it's a picture here for those who think that freedom is being away from the Father. Freedom is not being away from our Father. That is bondage every single time. I'm going to say again that sin will only bring slavery to your life. Talk to any addict out there addicted to pornography, addicted to child abuse, addicted to gambling, to alcohol, to drugs. They all began having great parties, great smiling, great laughter, great joy, and great things that the flesh would love to do. But as time goes by, they realize there's now chains like the elephant upon my arms and upon my feet and upon my shoulders. I'm actually finding myself being shackled now and being enslaved by a thing that's bigger than I am. And praise God that Jesus Christ does come today to break every chain, to break every shackle. And no bondage cannot be broken, but what God, again, can break these things by the power of his own might, anointing, and strength. And may God do that even this day in Jesus' name. So how do we live intentional, relational lives upon the earth? There's three things you want to write down this morning, three intentional things we can do, take home points. Number one is, let's first of all evaluate our present. Evaluate the present. Where am I at today? Take an inventory of your relationships right now today. Are they as healthy as you want them to be or as God wants them also to be? Take an inventory of today's now relationships in your life. Let's read on now Luke chapter 15. Let's read here verse 17, prodigal son. And it says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and also even to spare, but I perish also myself with hunger. This is what we call the search me stage, where you say, God, I'm going to now come to myself and realize the things I see around me are not what they should be, what I envision for my own present and future life. And I see, oh God, it's time for me to say, God, I fall upon your mercy, upon your grace, and upon your forgiveness and your power. And I say, search me, oh God, like David did back in Psalm 51 with sin with Bathsheba himself. And he said, search me, oh God, and see if there's any wicked way in my life. Cleanse me and wash me with hyssop with your own precious blood. Bring forgiveness to my heart once again. Evaluate yourself in your own walk with your wife, with your husband, with your children. Is it less than what God wants it to be upon the earth? The good news is when you say, God, search me. God, intervene. God, help me. God is willing to do that. God will show you some blind spots towards your wife, towards your husband, towards your children and your friends around you. Things you're actually neglecting, things you are not doing, things you're doing wrong perhaps. Sometimes your attitude, sometimes your speech, your body language. God will put some fingers of his own spirit upon those things in your life. He wants to correct and bring sharpening to. And God only does that to bring betterment to your life and those you touch also upon the earth. Amen. The search me stage where we start out with relationships being restored and healed once again. If you also notice that most of the people who are doing crazy things right now in our nation, like the lady last week in Washington, D.C., was speeding her car around the Washington, D.C. front, trying to ram into police officers with a baby in her car, they finally shot her to death. Another young man went to a federal building somewhere in America, began firing shots off at the building with an automatic weapon. All these folks have a common thread in their stories. That common thread is they went to a place of authority where the fathers were at, and they said, I heard voices telling me what to do. Those are voices from demons and devils. And the fact is, if you're not hearing the Father's voice, you're going to hear the Father of Lies' voice. You're going to find yourself coming against authority somehow, some way, in rebellion and destruction. It'll bring destruction also to yourself. We need to ask ourselves, Father God, show me in my own life, am I bucking authorities? Am I bucking my boss, those you placed in my life to be on my authority figures? Is it because a wound is in my heart with my father that I find myself shooting bullets and attacking the very thing you placed in my life to protect me and bless me, because that wound is so strong and so harsh and so deep, I can't trust authority figures at all upon the earth. I believe God's here today to heal that kind of a wound. Like Charity said this morning here prophetically again, I sense that the father heart of God, those have been wounded by that in an illegitimate type way, God wants to heal that and restore that and close that wound in Jesus' name. Amen. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself shooting off bullets at White Houses and authority figures and going from job to job and marriage to marriage and so forth and so on, because you have that wound in your heart that God needs to heal as only he can heal. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 30, the Good News Translation says here, sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Paul was knocked off a horse, struck blind by God for months because he was persecuting the church and would not let his hard head hear what the Father was saying. You're going to come against my own church, Paul, and that is against my desires for your life and for my church also upon the earth. I'm going to blind you for a season in a painful type way perhaps, but you're going to rise up out of the dirt a better man, a changed man, a transformed man. God will take sometimes painful things and bring good things in your life on the other side of painful experiences in your life. Amen. I told the church here a couple of years back, my stepbrother in Kansas, back in his early 20s, late teens, discovered he had a tremendous voice like Michael Bublé's, very much like Michael Bublé's voice, no kidding. This guy could sing tremendous songs of praise and solos in our church back home in Kansas. But the problem was, he'd not gone through brokenness yet. He'd not gone through egotistical self-centeredness yet, being broken off of him by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when this guy sang his songs, you could just sense this air of arrogance, of being very, very self-assured, being proud of himself, loving his gifting, loving the applause of man. and having a very, very prideful spirit along with that. In fact, I live with a guy, of course, behind the scenes. I can see more of that in that kind of a lifestyle. And as the months were going by here, he sang more and more solos at the church. Suddenly, one day, out of the clear blue sky, he was struck with a very, very rare, incurable disease and found himself in the hospital about to die. The doctor said, "We don't know what you've got. We don't know why you've got this, where it comes from. We can't even treat this thing. You're about to die. That's all we know. Is your heart shutting down? Your body shutting down? You're in big trouble." This young man cried out to God for mercy. God met him on his bed, and God healed his body instantly. As he said, "Father God, I'm proud. I'm arrogant. It's all about me and my kingdom." He confessed all those things to God, and God came down, and God healed his body instantly, and God broke that young man's heart. And when he started singing songs on the other side of that experience, a brand new spirit was on that young man's life. There was anointing. There was brokenness. There was compassion. Folks were crying in their pews. God's ministry was going out of him to them. God was healing lives now for the first time when that young man sang like Michael Bublé at the church. The truth is, sometimes God will use painful experiences to bring forth sometimes good fruit on the other side. Those who sow in tears will sometimes reap in joy. Those who weep and cry for a season will carry sheaves with them in due time. Amen? So again, I'll say again, God's not the author of sickness and disease and all things that are evil around us, but God will use those things many times for the good, for those who are called according to the purposes of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, it says, "For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation." Like Jack said this morning, praise God for salvation. "Not to be also regretted, but the sorrow of the world only produces death." What God is saying is crocodile tears do nothing. Godly tears of repentance and getting our minds changed, of brokenness, will bring forth salvation and bring forth good results in our lives. When the younger son left home, he was saying, "Give me." When he came back to his father, returned back to his household, he was now saying, "Make me." Give me to start with, turn to make me. And what God is saying to husbands and wives this morning is, quit saying, "Give me, give me, give me, my name is Jimmy," to your own husbands and wives, and start saying, "Make me, O God, become the man of God, woman of God, who's a blessing to my spouse, my children, my coworkers, and my friends. Make me, God, more like you are to do this." The actuality of becoming more of a Christ-like person is, this younger brother became more like Jesus than his older brother was. Because the older brother was full of religion and rejection and said, "I've been working and slaving all these years for you, Father, and now you kill the fatted calf. You now forgive him. You now put a robe on him, a ring on his finger. And look at me now. I've been slaving all these years." The Bible says the older brother detested the younger brother because of the mercy his father showed and bestowed upon him. But the fact is, younger brother now became more Christ-like than the older brother in one day. I've seen born-again believers in Jesus Christ who've been at the same time alcoholics, cussers, swindlers, gamblers, liars, strikers, and fighters. And I've seen God take a hold of them and change their hearts so dramatically, they're now winning more souls for Jesus Christ than 35 years in Christ's saints in the same church. Because their heart has been broken. Their minds have been transformed. Their lives have been changed. And God has made them to become more like he is, not like their earthly father, like their heavenly father upon the earth. Amen? God can do that in your life. Godly sorrow is about transformation. It's a change of mind. Point number two today, number two is, envision now also the future that can change you. Envision the future that can change you. If willful choices have put the younger son into the pig pen, then willful choices can get him also out of the same pig pen. Willful choices got him in there. Willful choices are going to get him out of there also the same way. Luke chapter 15, let's read verse 18 and 19, what it says. Notice how intentional this young man is now. He says, "I will arise, I will go to my father, I will say to him, I will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." He made an intentional decision this day. He took three actions in the scripture. He said, I'm going to get up, I'm going to go up, and I'm going to also say these things. Those are three actions he spoke that day. I'm going to get up, I'm going to go up, and I'm going to speak and say these things. Those are all intentional actions he took to bring him out of the pig pen into the place of destiny once again for his life. How many folks realize today that good intentions won't help you, because the path of destruction is lined with all kinds of good intentions. It's going to take real actions that are birthed by God's grace and spirit to see real transformation take place in broken relationships in your life, your marriage, and things like this as well. It's sad that many people abandon relationships that could have been salvaged because they get involved in bitterness and anger and unforgiveness in their lives. How many folks in this room today have lost close friends the past 12 months in your life? Could God salvage those relationships? I pray to God this day that folks who once loved you now seem to hate you, that somehow, some way, God's grace may come in this place and salvage those relationships once again, and not see those folks estranged from us till Christ returns again. I pray to God those healings will take place for broken relationships that you might have had in your life that are now cut off somehow, some way. Jesus chose to be born in obscurity. He was an intentional type person. He chose to work like a man as a carpenter. He chose to study and learn from the law, learn the law, to preach those things, teach those folks around him in Jerusalem and places beyond that. He chose to fast, to pray, to teach, disciple, to heal, deliver, to set people free. These are all things he did intentionally in his life, but also he chose to be beaten, to be crucified, misunderstood, rejected, and betrayed. These are all intentional decisions that Jesus Christ made for you and me. But the good news is, because he made those intentional decisions, we now have eternal life through what Jesus Christ purchased for us by his precious blood. And you also today must make intentional decisions yourself about broken relationships, because all that Jesus Christ did intentionally was meant to draw us back to the Father once again. I come to give you life, and life more abundantly. To get that veil ripped in two, separating you from my Father, and see the Spirit of God now live inside each one of you that call upon my name, who know me as Lord and Savior. And he was intentional about that. And praise God, he did that also willfully with his own life. Do you think there's now room for improvement in your own marriage and your own relationships today in your lives? So I'm going to pray at the end of the service today that God's going to see it. God's going to work in our lives and hearts, a healing work only he can do, to hopefully heal some relationship inside your own oikos, your own sphere of influence upon the earth, as only God can do. Number three, last of all, let's choose to initiate a plan of action when we leave this place today in rainy Austin, Pflugerville, Round Rock, Texas. Amen. Maynard, Taylor, and Gerald, and so forth. Amen. And Hutto as well. Hutto hippos. Don't forget about the hippos. Amen. Whenever a sports team faces an opponent, they will always, first of all, size up their opponent and find their weaknesses and find their strengths, and they'll then play them according to their weakness and their strength and be intentional about the game plan they've got to come against them and hopefully get the victory on those Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night games they play across this entire nation. The same thing's also true of healing relationships. Ask yourself, with God's help, what can I do to strengthen my walk with my husband or my wife, my son or my daughter? It might be estranged right now in some way. What do they like? What can I do to buy into their lives? What can I speak to them or do for them to see this thing start getting healed and being put back on the right path once again? God's going to give you a game plan for that. I believe that. Every marriage, every relationship is going to have a last sight in it. I pray that love at last sight are taking place in your relationships by the power of Jesus Christ before you leave this place today. Notice the youngest son did not get what he deserved. He deserved to lose all his inheritance. He deserved to be spanked by his father, grounded, put the servants, have no good job, have a low-paying job. All the things he deserved did not happen to him, because that father represents our Father in heaven, who loves us with an everlasting, unconditional love. He kills a fatted calf, puts a robe on his back, puts a ring on his finger, and says, he runs towards him and says, I've loved you, I've been looking for you, seeking after you. Now you are lost, but now you are found. Come back into my household, enjoy the sonship once again. You're back with in my house again, eating at my table, with my job, my inheritance, all things restored back to you. That's the kind of God that we serve. Amen? May those things also take place in your lives, your marriages, your families, your children's lives as well. When we mess up, praise God that God forgives us. But God also says, as I've forgiven you, also now forgive one another. And so fulfill what? The law of Jesus Christ. Let's read now, finally, Luke chapter 15, verse 21, 15, 21 through 24. And it says here, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy now to be called your son. But the father said to his son, or to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it. Let us all eat and be merry, making Chick-fil-A very angry. For this my son was dead, but now he is alive again. You also could say there, this relationship was dead, but now it's becoming alive again. You can speak that and pray that even today. He was lost, but now he's found. And they began, notice this, they began to have a party and be merry. God loves parties. Amen? Good, righteous, sober parties. God loves parties. Amen? The Bible says all of heaven rejoices when one sinner comes to Christ. More so than when 100 other folks don't need to repent and are still just serving God on a day-by-day basis. God loves to make merry, loves a party. The marriage supper of the Lamb will be the biggest party the whole universe has ever seen. There'll be divine fireworks. There'll be all kind of dancing angels. There'll be all kinds of, yes, good food there. Probably some brisket, some Rudy's, things of that nature there, some good Tex-Mex. Things, an angel food cake, amen? No devil's food cake in heaven. Plenty of chocolate, though, amen? But I'm saying God loves a party, and God is saying to you, when you finally see him heal relationships, take time to be merry and do something fun together to celebrate that healing that God's done in that relationship, because God is for that in your life. Finally now, as James is back to the platform to help me out, please help me out, James. I'm going to say, don't run from God today if you've messed up, but rather run to God if you mess up. There's no sin, there's no vile thing you can do that'll cause God to hate you and not be for you. God loves prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. He doesn't condemn you, doesn't judge you. He doesn't say, stay away from me. God is saying, my arms are open. I'm actually seeking after you to come back into me with fellowship once again, like we had before in the good old days. Well, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed this morning. I want to pray here for all the congregation in a moment as I'm sensing what God is doing here among us at the very close of this service. But just like the father is looking for that younger son every single day, I think about how you see movies sometimes where a dog that a man loves so much on a farm or a ranch, that dog gets lost in the woods somehow, chasing a rabbit or whatever, and it's gone for weeks and months. But every day that farmer, that rancher goes out on the horizon and looks for the precious dog to come back once again. And praise God, when that dog comes back, his tail's wagging, his chops are just licking, he's smiling, he's jumping on that master, and the master takes him and gives him the best food he can give him there and says, welcome home, my faithful dog, once again. But above all that, God is saying to you and I, people are more important than dogs are. And people need to be embraced and loved, and whatever they've done to us, may it be again forgotten by the blood of Jesus Christ put behind us, remembered no more against them if they ask forgiveness. And they ask for reconciliation. They ask for God to heal that thing. As I close this morning, I want to say today, how do we live intentional? How do we do that? We evaluate our present relationship. We envision the future that can change us. Then we initiate a plan of action and say, Father God, help me know what to do to see this thing restored once again. But if you do nothing, it will only depreciate, deteriorate, and become worse and less. If you actually would do something with God's help and God's grace. God may say, pick the telephone up, have a lunch date, meet at Starbucks, write a note, do a Facebook post, give a tweet out. Do something somehow to make that first step towards reconciliation once again, because God may want to salvage broken relationships. But I'm also saying this morning today, there's some folks in this congregation who've got wounds in your heart from the Father, the natural father, the stepfather, the father figure. They might have abused you, misused you. They might have also shown no trust towards you, neglected you, not been there to hug, to hold, to be at your parties and your diploma times, your times of trophies and times of accolade and times of achievement. They weren't there, perhaps. But God says, I am a God who loves you and will always be there for you. Don't put your trust in a man, says God. Put your trust in me, because I am the author and the finisher of your faith. And I will sit closer than a brother in your life. Well, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed right now. If you're here this morning and you're saying, first of all, Pastor Mike, since I may be like a prodigal son or daughter today, I'm doing things I can't shake off my life. I got addictions or habits. I am doing things, oh God, I know even displeases God perhaps, but I want to see my heart be cleansed and see my heart become whole this morning before I leave this place. I want to call upon the name of God today and say, Father God, be my dad, be my father, be the one who loves me unconditionally. I confess to you, O God, this day, I need your grace, I need your help, I need your strength, I need your forgiveness. And I receive that this day in Jesus' name. If you're like that this morning and can pray a prayer like that, please raise your hand right now across the congregation. If you're like that today, you just sense you need prayer for this, like this. Anybody at all? Anybody else? I see two hands over here. Anyone else on the right, the middle? Praise God. Thank you, Father. Let's all stand to our feet, please. I'm going to ask also those right now that will be honest and say, Pastor Mike, there's a wound inside of my heart that's been caused by a neglecting father, an abusive father, an abusive father figure. And I just sense Holy Spirit's dealing with my heart right now this morning that he wants this wound closed. Jesus Christ's first message from Isaiah chapter 61 says, I've come to bind up the brokenhearted. I have come to set the captives free. That same Spirit is here today in this place to bind up brokenhearted people, to set captives free. Chained like an elephant, free. Only God can do that. If you're like that this morning, there's a wound inside your own heart from the Father, make your way out of your seat right now, please. Come to the front. Just stand up here side by side if you're like that today. Male or female, either one. Be very quick. Come to the front right now if you're like that. You can sense there's a wound inside my heart that's from the Father, a father figure, a mentor, someone that I looked up to as a father person in my heart and life. Just go ahead and come to the front right now, male and female alike. Don't be proud. Don't take time. Right now, God's anointing is here today to close this wound and set people free as only he can do. Those two that raise your hand also, a prodigal type spirit, be praying for yourself right now. Father God, cleanse me. Father God, take that prodigal heart from me. Let me, God, know that you love me unconditionally. I confess, oh God, this day that Jesus Christ forgives every sin and takes sin from me as far as east is from the west. And I will not find myself going backwards. I'll find myself going forwards in your kingdom in Jesus' name.